You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13. In our exercise of the book of Hebrews, as we have come to chapter 13, and God having given us the needed helpfulness to understand Christ's death on the cross has made something wonderfully possible that was impossible. He made possible a unique, wonderful relationship to God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. He made all of that possible. Now, and that's what chapter 12 chapters of Hebrews. Chapter 13, just a refresher, just as we use the illustration in a war, we're leaving the ship on the barge and we're about to, and before we go onto the beach, we are reminded quickly of several things so that we're already prepared. We just, 12 chapters. Now here's some little things just to remember in the listing, chapter 13. And we've come down in chapter 13 and we shared in verse 15, by him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. To do so continually. What is the praise? What do you mean, praise to God? That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. God, you want us to be able to go and look to you and with thanksgiving. And the word thanks here, the word thanks isn't the normal one that we look at, because it's the verb to confess, to say the same thing, to speak the same thing, to be in agreement, to be in accord. God is looking for what? The end of verse 15, to give thanks, to confess to his name, to give God the honor and the credit of because of who he is in a most wonderful, wonderful way, to honor him. That's what we're going to catch in the morning if the Lord tarries, to honor him. That's what he's looking for. We live in a world of darkness where he is not honored. In fact, that's our trouble, because the world in its darkness leaves us in a great void. It leaves us bankrupt when it comes to the real world and the real universe that God has created. We miss it. We see flowers. We can study flowers. But we miss God. We miss him. He's missing that bankruptcy of our human heart, our being bankrupt, leaves us in darkness. So when it comes to religion and God, it's only as we imagine to based on how it's presented, whether we bow, stand, sit, run, whatever we do, in order to express our relationship to God. But as far as God goes, we don't see him. We don't have any sense of him. But we're busy religiously and doing in worship, we do that. But we're missing that awesome person of God. And you'll catch that coming up here. That's where we are. Now, therefore, to confess, to say the same thing as God does in a most wonderful way. And you know that word, confess. You're going to see the word thanks, like we shared in the end of verse 15. When you think of that, just think of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, verse 10. If thou confess, twice, verse 9 and 10. That's the same word that you have with thanksgiving. So if you put Romans 10, 9 and 10, you're connecting what? Confessing him. That's what we're doing. We're giving God credit for who he is in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, don't forget. Don't be forgetful. Stop being forgetful, literally. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. With such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now, and you want to slide up when you see in verse 16, with such sacrifices, and then you slide your eye up to verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. So you're connecting. Having said that, sacrifice of praise, verse 16, with such sacrifices of praise, God is well pleased. God is this pleasing, looking, honoring God for who he is. Now, having said that, and catch the end of verse 16, if I can, is well pleased. Now lock that in and turn over to chapter 11. And in chapter 11, you will note, going if I can to verse 5, you remember, for by faith, 11:5. For by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him and taken him as God's going to take us. For before his translation, while he was on earth, he had this testimony. What was so wonderful about Enoch? He pleased God. He pleased God. It was pleasing. God was pleased with a man. That's what God's looking for. Now, take that same word, all kinds of ways, just to lock it in. Romans and chapter 12. And in Romans and chapter 12, putting it together, and you'll see it in verse 1. I beseech you, 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is a concluding in the light of the 11 chapters of Romans, what is the result of God's rightness, what God has done for us? The result of all that God has said in Hebrews, we're reading it, chapter 13. The result of all that God has said in Romans, chapter 12, verse 1. What's the result? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, logical. It's the most reasonable. It's the most common sense thing. It's the most realistic thing you could do in the light of the facts, in the light of the truth. The end of verse 1, which is your reasonable service. Do you see the word acceptable? That's the word pleasing, well pleasing. What are we going to do? That we present our bodies not as a burnt offering, but as a living offering. How so? You reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. Present yourself a living sacrifice to God. Not a dead one, a living one. That is well-pleasing to God. That's what he wants. Hang on. Now, verse 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How so? by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you're changing your understanding, your thinking. You're living in the light so you see differently, understand differently. And that's what we need to do. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, what's the purpose of thinking right? Verse 2, that purpose, you may prove, put to the test, what is that good and acceptable. There's your little word, well-pleasing again. Acceptable, good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's what you're doing. Well-pleasing God. So what are we going to do? We're looking for God. You can't without Hebrews. I didn't even do it, I don't think. Hebrews 11:6, without back over there on our way back. How did I ever do that? I got hung up with Enoch. What happened? Enoch went up and I went up with him, and I forgot to stay down because we were talking. Hebrews chapter 11. That's important. And in verse 6, remember you come to the end of verse 5, Hebrews 11:5, that he pleased, acceptable, well-pleasing. Then you slide down to verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please. You have to believe that God is God. That's what he said. How are you going to sacrifice the praise? I'm going to recognize, confess that God, you are everything you say you are. Therefore, in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. Why? For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's God. To give God credit for being God. That God, that's what God wants. Don't make him like we did in Jeremiah. What did the people do? They shrunk God down. They let God, and they shrunk him down to make him fit into their hand. That's what they did. We don't want to shrink God down. We don't want God to be man-sized. We want God to be God-sized. That's what we want. God said, that pleases me. The more we understand, beyond all that we can ask or think, it's God, the more we talk about, like I was just talking with someone, thinking of the galaxies and the immensity of the infinity as far as we're concerned. Here's the universe and the light years and all of that. 6 trillion light years times forever. Wow. In the process. 6 trillion miles in a light year. Wow. Thousands and thousands of light years into space. Beyond our understanding. God, you created, you did your, here's the span here to here, the span. God took the universe and he put a span. The universe is what? Like this. God is awesome. That's right. And God is awesome. That's what he wants. To give God wonderfully credit, he is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think. And that's what you want to have. That's what pleases God. That's what honors God. It's missing because we don't understand God. We say God, we'll sing about God, churches and people, and we do. I'm going to trust God. Well, who are you trusting? God. Well, what does that mean to you? G-O-D. What does that mean? Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, and remembering to please God. That's what honors him. Now, chapter 13. And in verse 17. Now, I'm going to take that apart apart. Because I'm trying to get you to see it. And the problem, how can the church, who has such an awesome God and Savior, be where it is? How can that be? Now, so verse 17, chapter 13. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You aren't helped at all under that condition. Therefore, taking that apart in a good way, go back, if I can, starting over to Romans in chapter 3. Romans in chapter 3. If I can. And allow me to go. I'm looking at humanity, Jew and Gentile. Chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin, every single one of them. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. So far, we aren't going to find anybody. Not going to find anybody. Verse 12. And they are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit, and poison of asp under their lips, etc. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, etc. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. That's all humanity. Keep that in mind, all humanity. The result, that's what Romans is what it's saying, all, every single human being born on planet Earth, Christ died for, and they need to be saved. Chapter 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. You don't realize you broke the law when you went through the corner. Here's the cross street, and you drove your car. You don't realize you broke the law if there's no stop sign. If I put a stop sign, stop, and you go through that, you know you broke the law. But if I take the stop sign away, I don't see anything. In other words, I stay in the dark, and in the dark, anything goes, however, no matter how we want to do it. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, all we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah 53, and we've turned everyone to his own way, Judges. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, Isaiah 53, Judges 21. Everyone does that which is right in their own eyes, in the dark. That's what we do. Now, having said that, God is right, is righteous in what he does and how he does. So therefore, God is going to go in his most wonderful way. And us humans have rejected, we love darkness rather than light, because our deeds are evil. That's why we love it. John chapter 3, 18, 19, and 20. We love darkness. That's what we do. So, we have God's word, but we don't want to know God's word. We don't mind to talk about it, but we don't want to know it. Do we want to understand God's word? I can read it. do I want to understand it? And then to narrow down the people who will do it. I know, here's God's word. I read God's word. What I read, do I understand? And lastly, do I want to understand in order to implement it in my daily life? That's where we lose them. Oh, I understand, but I'm never going to do anything with it. I'm never going to do anything with it. Yeah, because we limited the people that are reading the Bible down like this. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, God, you're going to do, so here's our world rule. The sheep need a shepherd, and the people are like a herd of sheep. They go whatever direction they wish to go, however they go down the corridor of time. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if I can, in the process, the rule, the world is ruled by the world is ruled by the rulers. People rise up to control all over the place. That's what they do. I'll tell you, they want to have power. And people can be controlled. That's what they can do. So they, in the process, the rule are ruled by the rule, make for the rulers. In other words, because we want to be, we're sheep. Therefore, people can rule. If we weren't sheep, it wouldn't be easy. But it's very easy to develop rulers. And rulers take over and become in control. Now, sliding if I can, in the light of that, to Psalm 10. Where do rulers come from? They come from people that want to be ruled. We need to be governed. We need some leader. We need a leader. So, here we are, looking if I can, Psalm number 10. And in Psalm number 10, you remember, illustration of us humans, Psalm number 10. And may I pick up in thought in verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth in his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. In other words, rulers exist because people want to be ruled. They need ruling. Someone help me. And they don't, I'm not going to do it. I just want you to help me. That's where you think of Mary Baker Grover Patterson Eddy, Christian Science, married 5 times, I think. Anyway, Christian Science, Book of Mormon, Joseph Smith. You have leaders. Leaders come up, and the leaders are there to lead. Why? Because people want to be led. Communism, whatever it is, you got to be led. And it may be cuckoo that they're going the wrong way, but at least we're going somewhere. Now, having said that, sliding in chapter 10 just a little more so you see it. In chapter 10, sliding down, to verse 5. His ways are always grievous, the wicked. I'll read verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, pride, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. There's no thought of God. Verse 5. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of this sight, and for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. In other words, I'm able to beat somebody, overcome somebody. I'm going to try to retain. I don't want anyone. I'm trying to be king to sit on my throne. And I'm going to try to defend my right to sit on that throne as best I can. Now, and sliding over, to verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. In other words, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. That's the world in darkness. That's what they do. You say, don't they? No, they don't care. They're doing not good things. But it doesn't matter. That's what they're doing. They want to be king of the mountain. Everyone wants to, not everyone, the people that are in move that way are trying to be in control. That's what they're going to do. In whatever way, shape, or form they can do it. And it is where it is. So God, you got to help us. Obey them that have the rule over you. Well, but I got to get that clear. Now, here we are. God, here's the wicked. Psalm 10. Now, turn that and put that on top of the whole way it works. 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel and chapter 8. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you remember Samuel is the last judge of all the judges. He's the last judge. And in the process, the judges end and the kings begin. Judges end, kings begin. Therefore, the reason, as you know, 1 Samuel chapter 8, if I can, verse 3, talking about Samuel. And his sons walked not in his ways, but turned aside after lucre, and took bribes and perverted judgment. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, behold, thou art old, thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now, since this a lousy system, but are you going to get, do you want to fix it? No, we don't want to fix it. We don't want any more judges and having to answer to God. We don't want to have to do that, like Psalm 10. We don't want to have to do that. We want to be like the nations. Therefore, verse 5, now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. We want to be like them. Keep reading. But the thing displeased Samuel. Samuel said, that's the wrong way to go. And when they said, give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, said God, that I should not reign over them. What's the issue? God was watching them. God was caring for them. Even in their unbelief, God was caring for them. That's what he was doing. They didn't want that. That's why the judges, we don't want God watching over us, taking care of us. We don't want God's government in our life. We want the world's darkness, darkness's government. We want to go with a system. We have leaders. We need a king. We need a leader. God is the leader. No, we don't want God. He's the God of light. We love darkness. We don't want God's light. We want a human dark leader. We want a human in the dark to lead us. Now, having said that, the result, they were told that they didn't have that. They went from Egypt to God, out of Egypt to Mount Sinai, etc. Now they want to leave God. They've never been governed like the nations. Now, over if I can, except in Egypt, sliding down, if I can, verse 8. According to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now, to Samuel, they did it to everyone else. They're doing it to Samuel. Now, therefore, verse 9, hearken unto their voice, howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them. In other words, tell them it's the wrong way to go, Samuel. Don't fool with them. Tell them the straight, tell them it's straight, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked him a king. Now he's going to help them, which we need to pay attention to. And he said, verse 11, this will be the manner of the king, like you want to be like the nations, that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariot. In other words, you're going to serve the king, not God. Verse 12. He will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments. To make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive trees, olive yards, even the best. Them will he give to his servants, and he will take a tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants taxes and money, more and more, for my little group that follow me. And he will take your manservants and your maidservants and your goodliness, young men, and your asses, and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep, and he shall be his servants. And you shall cry out when you get so burdened and taxed. You shall cry out in that day because of your king, which you have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. And God never stopped. God never went back. They never went back to be without a king. The 10 tribes in the north, 2 tribes in the south, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity. It ended. They never got back to God to be their king. They never recovered. God said, I'm never going to fix it. Not now. Now, hang on. And, verse 19. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. That purpose, he also may be like that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may reign, may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. That's what we want. So you want to be, people need to be ruled. They need to be governed. They're sheep that just go all over the place, and they're looking for leadership. Always leadership in some form or fashion to fit whatever that is going on. And that's what they do. Israel, that's where they're caught up in. They're caught in that. Now, you got that part. Us humans, Romans chapter 3, in us dwelleth no good thing. So when it comes to humans, all of us, there is no king. There is no one to lead us. We're all of the same sort, the same kind. Secondly, because we don't keep God out of it, therefore we end up being led by all kinds of people from communism, socialism, Marxism, Islam, whatever. We're caught up in the system. We're caught in the system, religious system. That's where we're caught up. We're caught in it. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. We're counting on that. That's kind of, do you want to really understand? No, I don't. I'm trusting the system. I got on the bus where the bus is going, and it said where it was going, and I wanted to go there, so I got in the bus, and the bus is taking me. I'm not telling the bus where to go. The bus is just taking me down the corridor of time. Now, having said that, got those two. Thirdly, what do you know when you come to know the Lord as your Savior? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you will note. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, what happens? Pride is running the show in your heart, in our heart. We're part of the sins, we're part of the system. When I come to know the Lord as my Savior, when we do, what know ye not, verse 19, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. It isn't anything you did, and you are not your own. You are not your own. Why not? For, verse 20, you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God, when you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God rescued you from yourself and the system that you live in. And he became the owner. He became the sole owner. When you came to know him as your Savior, he is the final king. He's the Lord. He's the boss. You never can belong to anyone else. That's wonderful. You never can belong to anyone else when you get saved. Ever. You can goof and make 1,000 mistakes and go in 1,000 directions that are not good. But if you're truly saved, God owns you. And the sooner, the better we awaken, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, I belong to God. I don't belong to the system. I don't need the system. I need God. Like in Romans 8 and 15 and that. The Spirit of God leads, rules, governs in our life. And he has become the Lord of my life. He's the king. He's the boss. He's the owner of my hands, my head, my feet. He's the owner. He owns me. The system doesn't own me. No one owns me. My wife doesn't own me. My children don't own me. No one owns me except God. God. That's what I need to understand. Now, so I'm trying to get Hebrews 13, 17. I'm trying to understand that. And I'm going to help you, I hope. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I may, and so God, Christ in you, the hope of glory and all of these wonderful things, and therefore, God. So what are we going to do? You have to turn there, you know it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, 13. Work out your... You remember it? Or do you think it's changed? Work out your own. No one else's. You want king. You want an owner of anybody. Work out your own salvation. Not anybody else's. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. I understand that. So everyone's sinner. God, the system is going to, if I leave God out, the system's going to end up being the ruler because people want to be ruled. They need a leader. They need a shepherd, but they aren't going to get a good shepherd. God is the good shepherd. And so now, and therefore, the Spirit of God, I'm bought with a price, and I need to understand and honor that in a good way. God has to work out my, with fear and trembling, being governed and guided by God in a most wonderful way. Now, having said that, and in chapter 13 of Hebrews, back over there, Hebrews 13, 17. And you'll note in chapter 13, verse 17, obey them, be persuaded in a most wonderful way to obey our God and His wonderful word. Obey God, if we may, and to have the rule so that we are what? Looking to God to obey. It's a command. You obey God. It means to suffer oneself, to be persuaded, to yield, to assent, to give consent, to be convinced by words. God, what are we going to do? Obey them. That's what we're going to do. That's a command. Obey them that have the rule in the world. Now remember what we did over in verse 7. Chapter 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. So, chapter 13, verse 7. Chapter 13, verse 17. Rule, same word, to lead, to go first. To lead, to go first. If you're not, who's first? They're going to charge on the beach. And you get out of the barge and you charge. Hopefully the people are going to follow you. You don't stand there and say, everyone get off, and you sit in the barge while they go onto the beach to get shot. No, you don't. You go first. That's the word. A leader is first. Going first. You always see the back. The back. They're going first down the corridor of time. In a most wonderful way. That's what they'll be doing. They're following God's wonderful lead. Their leader to be ruled over. So therefore, to lead the way, to go first, to follow the Lord. And we did all of that in all kinds of ways to remind yourself. Now, you did it all kinds. We did all this, but Ephesians, do it again, a little bit, just a little. Ephesians. And if I can, in chapter 5, directly. Chapter 5, Ephesians, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as children. Follow, rule, to go first. That to be followers. Remember, Paul, all kinds of ways, do it to keep you awake. Over to 1 Corinthians. All kinds of ways and to get the point across. Chapter 11. You remember, we did all of these things. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 11. And in verse 1, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. I didn't ask you to follow me. I asked you to follow me as I am following Christ. I'm going down the corridor. I'm honoring God's word, looking to God, to our work, His wonderful will, His glory and honor, who He is. I want to please Him. I want to honor Him. I want to give Him thanks, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. I want to come and confess, God, You're an awesome God. And I owe you, you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So down the corridor of time I go, looking to God, and Paul is following Christ. And Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ in a most wonderful way. And so over, if you can, while you're thinking of it, over to John chapter 12. This isn't in order, I actually got it out of order, but chapter 12, and you'll see it. John chapter 12, our Lord, remember. Chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. Follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. If you're, what, the believer has to be what? Like Joshua and Caleb in Numbers. They followed so closely to God. God took a step, as it were, and they were, God moved and they moved. God moved and they moved. That's what they did. And they kept going forward. That's what they did. The rest of people, and all the people, the rest of them most generally, never did anything. But they did. They followed him. Joshua, Caleb, they're leaders. Why are they leaders? They're following God. They're following God. That's what it has to do. Wow, we got to follow God. I'm looking to God. We need to look to him in his magnificence. And like we started when we did this, remember, looking for his, the world generally in darkness has little to no reality of the reality of God's awesome person and presence. Zero. We can talk about it and can read the Bible and read the whole book of something, and we have no sense of God. I can read them. I don't have that sense of God. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, over to Luke and chapter 9. In Luke and chapter 9, if I can, in verse 23. 9 and 23 in the light of the context. And he said unto them all, anybody, whoever's listening, Jew, Gentile, saved, unsaved, whoever it is, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Where I am, that's where my servant be. What I'm doing, that's what my servant is. Whatever you do, do it to please him. To please him. It's doing. Wow. That kind of thing, that understanding, is very rare. It shouldn't be. It should be our normal, healthy, holy, happy Christian life. And it just isn't there. And we're content in doing this in the dark. Churches will sing and preach, and we keep modifying our system till we get more and more, less and less of the Bible, and more into the ecumenical Revelation 17 system. That's where we're going. We're going. When I come, will I find the body of truth? Luke 18. Will I find the body of truth to be believed? No, I won't. I won't find it. No. You're going to take us up? Uh-huh. We're going to do that. But it isn't because you're super duper looking for me. The trouble is you aren't looking for me. And it's going to be a mystery, secret. You should have been looking for me. I'm going to take you up. That's what I'm going to do. Why? In my grace, in my wonderful, wonderful grace. Therefore, follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Now, that's, you got to keep that in mind, if you would, as you get down the corner of time, because that's what's required. That's what's required. And in the process, if I can, over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter and chapter 2. And you recall, 1 Peter and chapter 2, picking up, if I may, chapter 2 and in verse 21, in the light of the context. 4, verse 21, 1 Peter 2, 21. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. What is the example, Lord, that we should follow his steps? Follow me. Follow me as I follow the Lord. See it again over to 1 John, back over to 1 John, where we're looking at normally in the morning, 1 John, and picking up if I can in 1 John chapter 2, sliding to verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. That's the test. Where are you headed? We shared that with you before. Where are we going? And you want to be wonderfully, wonderfully looking to God in your heart. And as you look to God and walk in the light as he is in the light, as you walk with God and look to God and daily, and you eat and drink and coming and going, work, home, school, whatever you're doing, and you do it looking to God, you're a light in the darkness. You're at least looking to the right person for the right reasons with the right results. You're going to be in the children of light in the darkness. That's what you're going to be. You're nowhere. And then God then need to, that's us. That's just us simple believers. That's what we need to do, be little lights. Like in Philippians chapter 2, we need to be little lights. Ah, that's true. But, and then we need leadership. Leadership, leadership. Leadership is hard. Leadership's hard. Why? Because the leader is what? Obligated. The leader is, we have to stop now because time's gone. But what's the problem? The leader is obligated to be so caught up in the heart and mind of the believers to present them perfect. And that's the terrible, terrible job. That's why people in the pulpit, that's why the pulpits, it's never been. I remember in my simple ordination out in California with all of that, and I told you all these things years ago. And I sat right down like that in the front row, right down over there. And Pastor Hart, he looked down. Here's all this big church full of people. And he looked down at me and he said, remember, you're going to have to go because people do not want to go where you want to take them. They do not want to go to get to God. And you have to understand that. You're up against the human heart that is no and has no interest in being so dramatically changed. It's going to take the rapture to change us. We're just caught. It's a lousy job. And most people don't. And that's a hard job. That's when I got into it. I don't even belong in this thing. You know why? Because I was raised in a Methodist church, and I was a very religious, little boy, no God, from way back when I was little. I love God, but my system had no God. And finally, later, down the corridor of time, stumbling along, God got his word, and I said, I told you, I did, when I was in Nigeria, that I got on my knees every day before I went to work. I read the Bible just like you do. I said, why did anyone ever tell me this? Why does anyone ever believe? What's wrong with the system? And that drove me, boom, here I am because of it. Why don't someone tell me the truth so that I can enjoy it? What am I doing? We're being robbed. I got to quit. You got the idea? So that's what I'm doing. Like all of us, that's what we're doing. What do we need? To be so caught up, I have to be concerned that you make it and that you make it. That's one tough job. It's easier to be a leader without ever doing that. And that's what is required to present. Your job is to present everyone perfect. And remember, like in chapter 13, verse 17, the people that are leading are to give an account for how it goes. I'm responsible for how it goes. if I'm up here. Do you understand? It's no picnic. No, to preach, I can give you a nice little, if I could, I'd give you a nice little message, and you get 3 points, and you say, I understand that, yes. Can you make it live for you? No, but you don't need to. I could probably do that, maybe. But to present, allow God to take the truths and drive them home to a heart that doesn't even want to receive them, that's hard. I'm being resisted. They've got to overcome it. You need to understand. So when you're praying for us people that have to do this, so you understand what they're up against. They're up against your will that doesn't want to receive. That's assuming we're saying it right. That's assuming we're doing it right. You see, I got to quit. We didn't get very far, but you getting there? I'm trying to help you understand. We're in a terrible world, and leadership, you need to obey them that rule over you. You need to understand. They need to be understood. Us humans are just humans, and we may not be very, very, and we probably, not probably, we aren't very good. But at least us guys, girls, we're trying to go in the right direction. And we're trying to tell you. That's why we look at the Bible 5,000 times. Why? You need to have it backed up, everything. It's not because, like the Athenians, like the Bereans, Acts 17, they search the scriptures daily to what? To see if they be others. Is that what it says? Well, by the time I'm driven, send this to you in 15 different ways, hopefully you got it. Not because of me, because that's what it says. You got it? Oh, well, yeah, you got the idea. Let's see if we can make the next part. Thank you.